Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 15 minutes in, so 45 minutes. Seth Merrill will join us after we talk to Mike Welch, and reaching out to Mike on a rare midweek call on a Wednesday, and the action at Gulfstream today featuring in the ninth at 4:13 Eastern. That's the scheduled post time.
thereabouts.
a rather heady allowance group. Mike, both of the Bean Cones and Chivalry and even Soros for Delgado, this is...
Soros is scratched.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me cross him off. He's the only one out of there?
Yes.
All right, well, then let's talk about the three principles, although Hard Lightning looks like he's not a bad little horse. Talk, though, about what Bean Cone's aim is here and, you know, what the intended targets are coming out of it.
You know, in light of all the news today and recently, too, any three-year-old that's on that on the Derby trail that's still running right now, is they automatically move up. I mean, at the Indian and Sol Volante, you're seventh and ninth on the Derby watch list, and now they're sixth and eighth anyway. With Maxfield out, and you know, it could be a matter of attrition as we get down the line. And Patrick's been kind of protecting these horses a little bit. Once he realized that there wasn't much going on for them, I think he just backed off. Went a long while before both of them got back to the work tab, most notably Sol Volante. But you know, they've been working right along, and he needs to get a race into them, no matter where he's going next. And, you know, I think, I don't know if he requested this race or Ralph Nix requested this race, but give the racing office credit for not only putting it in the book, but making it go. I mean, that was going to be a question mark. They weren't going to let it go with just those three, and they managed to get a field of six. But we'll just have to see, you know, how this plays out. I mean, you got At the Indian and Chivalry, who, you know, finished second and third in the Florida Derby after contesting the pace. They held on well to be second and third, beaten by, you know, one of the Derby favorites. So even with the speed duel, they both ran well. You know, are they going to get in another speed duel? I think that's the big question mark here. You have Jesus's team, too, that has a little bit of speed. So going to be interesting to see the strategy that the trainers and riders employ here with these two. Of course, if a speed duel develops, then Sol Volante is going to be in the catbird seat. You know, Patrick has said, I mean, they're sort of using this race as a prep, probably for the Belmont. Of these three, he's almost only one likely at all to run back in 10 days at the Belmont, even though they are listing Chivalry as a possible. I don't think that's possibly going to happen. So, you know, they don't want to empty the tank here, but then again, with his running style, he's going to sit back and make one run, and he just might be better than these and could run him down. So, obviously a better race to watch than to try to bet, but it is part of the big Rainbow Six package, too. So, you almost got to use all three of them. I'm looking forward to just seeing how this thing plays out.
At the end, being down on the rail and adding blinkers, and Florent Giroux has gotten, you know, so aggressive anyway. Not that Ette in the end needs any, you know, added motivation.
but he's pretty quick.
Yeah.
I asked Patrick about that, and he kind of ducked the question, basically saying, you know, he's best, you know, his game is his speed, and we're not going to take it away from him. Now, he did say he put the blinkers on because it seems to have helped him relax in the morning, which is kind of contradictive to what you would expect. You know, you think it would put more speed into him. He's saying it's helping him relax in the morning. So we'll have to see. I mean, at the Indian Sol Volante, he was scheduled to have a big work, I think it's 2 weeks ago now on a Wednesday, and they had to cancel it because of the weather. I don't know if that's relevant or not. They both seem to be training well and that work on May 17th. They were together, but they weren't together. At the Indian broke off about 10 lengths ahead of Sol Volante on the turf, and they kind of stayed that way, but they really worked a full mile, or went a full mile the work was a half mile, and they went quick, but they left at the wire, and they went once around. They were kind of two-minute licking early and then picked it up from the half-mile pole home. They both looked pretty good to me. We gave them B's. Donald gave them B's. You probably could have given them B-pluses on the work tab for those works. They both look like they're fit enough. So we'll see. I mean, it's just it's going to be an interesting race, and then interesting to see what everybody says when it's over about what they're going to do next. And, you know, nobody's probably going to be able to commit to anything after today. They're going to have to wait to see how they come out of the race. So we may have to wait a couple of days, at least from Patrick's point of view, with whether he's going to, you know, put this horse on a van or a plane and head up to New York for the Belmont.
It seems so, you know, in this era anyway, it just seems so unusual that, you know, you'd be 10 days out from the Belmont and, you know, you'd run competitively in a, you know, in a mile race. It's an old school feel to it.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, and Patrick is kind of old school, so I can see him doing it now. That being said, with the news coming today that Maxfield's not running in the Bluegrass, and they're already pointing at the Indian for the Haskell, you know, it's probably a little more likely now, no matter what happens today, I would think, that Patrick and Dean Reeves might get together and say, let's just wait for the Bluegrass now instead of tackling Tis the Law in 10 days. You know, let's wait and you know, maybe be the biggest fish or one of the biggest fish in the Bluegrass. But that's just, you know, speculation on my part. And it'll be a question I'll ask Patrick. I'm actually going back to the races today for the first time in 3 months to be out there today so I could talk to these guys after the race is over. So looking forward to that.
Well, and on that topic, since you brought it up, the protocol's relaxing a little bit, right? Some owner opportunities as well to attend?
The owners could still be here. They haven't been letting them in the winner's circle. I don't know if that's relaxed. I had a brief off-the-record conversation with Bill Badgett the other day about maybe fans coming back, and he said there was some hope of that for this weekend, but I guess cases of the COVID spiked a little bit in this area, so it seems like that has been nixed. So, and I will say today, the protocols coming in the Gulfstream today, just this morning during clocking, were a lot stiffer than they had been leading up to today. But that also being said, I think they're having more employees coming back to work starting today as well. So I know they were having some conversations about getting the casino open sooner rather than later with the state. I think that also got postponed a little bit because of the spike in cases that I mentioned. So, they gave me permission to come back to the races starting last weekend. I decided to just wait. But with a race like this today, I got to go over there. So, and I'm looking forward to it. A lot of guys I haven't seen. I haven't seen anybody in my buddies in the press office in 3 months. So,
unbelievable. It'd
be like a little reunion of sorts.
Crazy. Back to a couple of these runners. Ralph Nix, and, you know, Chivalry is the least appreciated Derby contender that is placed in either one or placed in five or six straight races.
He
gets no attention, zero.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of skepticism, and that's why he was 80-1 in the Florida Derby about his ability to go two turns. You know, his one previous two-turn race was the In Reality. He didn't really get his trip. I mean, the jockey took him back off the pace where he didn't really want to be, you know, going two turns this horse. But Ralph's still a little bit not sure what his best game is, but he does feel, and rightly so, I think, that a one-turn mile should fit him to a T. Whether he's ultimately ever going to be a true Derby mile and a quarter horse, I think the school is really out on that. But that being said, he's got 40 Derby points. He's pretty firmly in that picture. Might need to pick up a few more along the way. This is a prep, obviously, for something of Derby, you know, points down the road. He's mentioned the Haskell in the Bluegrass, so a good effort today, you know, would put him in that direction. A poorer effort today, and, you know, maybe he starts looking at, you know, something like, you know, the grade one three-year-old sprints up at Saratoga later
sure.
on, and keeping this horse at a sprint or at most a one-turn mile. But you know, just on class alone, I got a feeling he's going to fit right in here today if he doesn't get into some suicidal speed duel with that the Indian. Interesting to see how the track plays, too. I thought all weekend long the rail was no good. The further out you were, the better. But we were coming off a lot of rain and drying out racetrack. It wasn't quite as bad on Sunday. The track was pretty quick for works this morning, so I'm guessing it'll be a fair track today. But it's something to keep an eye on, see how the speed is doing. Usually the speed is pretty good around here. We all know that. But it wasn't over the weekend. And anyone keeping trip notes from, especially last Friday and Saturday, you know, better keep a note on horses that were on the lead and down near the inside and ran poorly when they come back next time.
Mike, a couple of questions also about other horses in addition to the B and Cone pair, Ette Indienne and Sol Volante today, Chevrolet as well, and actually with Verve, Jesus's team, and Hard Lightning are actually all kind of useful-looking horses. New York traffic hasn't worked in 3 weeks. What do we know about
I think I wrote a little note about that. After the Arkansas race, he was in Arkansas, right? Yeah. Didn't he? Let me see. Wherever he ran before that.
The Matt Wynn.
The Matt Wynn. Yeah, I knew he was out of town. Yeah, I knew it wasn't Arkansas. He had to go in quarantine for 2 weeks to come back here. So he went to Ocala, kind of laid low for a while. He's back here now. Safi has nothing picked out for him, but he'll probably get back on the work tab. I'm going to guess not this weekend, but next weekend. But that's the reason. Nothing wrong with him, according to Safi. Just they gave him a little chance to wind down because he had to go to Ocala and quarantine anyway after the Matt Wynn.
All right, so he should get back to work. Does Joseph have a plan?
He did not at this moment say what he had next picked out. I think he wants to wait to see how he comes back and where he is along, how far along he is in his training. He is thinking of sending some horses to Saratoga for the summer, so the possibility he could be in that group. He's also taken, I think, somewhere up to 60 or 70 stalls at Palmetto's here for the summer. So Safi is really increased his numbers as far as the stable goes, so that's going to be interesting to note. I'm not going to be here for the summer, but I wouldn't be able to see, you know, a lot of his horses train, which is a shame because it's kind of fun to watch his good horses go. But that's what I understand. He's keeping about 70 up at Palmetto's at least until he maybe ships out to Saratoga. But all his plans are still a little bit up in the air as far as that goes right now. Math Wizard has been training well. There is a overnight stake in the book for Saturday, whether he goes in there and whether it fills or not is another story.
I saw the other day, Mike, as well, that Todd Pletcher finally ran the last of his horses last week at Gulfstream, and his barn, with now that the Oklahoma is open, he's packed up out of Palm Beach Downs.
Not entirely true.
Not entirely?
He's packed out of Palm Beach Downs, but he sent 50 horses to Gulfstream, and he's got horses on Friday, and he's going to be a presence here moving forward. I, matter of fact, I have a call into him now to really write that story and see what he's doing. But my guess is just, and it's just a guess, these horses he's sending here are the ones that would have gone to Monmouth, and in light of everything in Monmouth and everything else going on, I think he feels. I'm just guessing again. I think he feels. My guess is the thought would be that the purses might be higher here and the opportunities might be more prevalent for those kind of horses that would have been in Monmouth to just run down here. But there's no doubt right now he has sent a lot of horses into the Gulfstream. We're starting to see a few of them, new faces, start to work here in the morning. We had a couple today, a couple the other day. But I'm trying to, you know, hopefully I get all of them. Today's back in New York now. Hopefully I get the skinny on that. But he definitely has horses in here on Friday.
Unbelievable. Well, the reason I was angling toward a Pletcher conversation was because both of his horses, now with Gouverneur Morris detouring to the Bluegrass, that leaves Farmington Road and Dr. Post, and they both have been down at Palm Beach Downs. And actually, Farmington Road has worked adroitly, as it happens.
So both, both of them have.
Yeah.
They both have done really well.
You got anything?
Hello?
Yeah, do you have? Did you has Dave been around, or is anybody?
No,
talking?
Dave's been out of there a couple of weeks, but they are on. Their works are all on XBET TV, and they look like they're doing really well. I think Dr. Post could be pretty formidable of the two. I like him a little bit better. I think he could be very formidable behind Tiz de Lar in the Belmont. So, but they are up there to be seen. You know, those works, they are available. Last couple anyway.
Nice. Well, this field is going to probably morph quickly, and I'm sure some new names are going to get hats thrown into the ring with over the last 48 hours, the departure, or call it over the last 5-6 days, between Nadal, Charlatan, Maxfield, and now Gouverneur Morris. And I mean, it keeps.
Yeah, the race really kind of lost a lot of its luster in the last week or two. Yeah. It's still the Belmont, and you still got Tiz de Lar, but, you know, it's not the same race it was a couple weeks ago. So I'm heading that way, too, myself. I'm going to be in New York starting Belmont weekend, so starting a crew workout material for our Saratoga report.
Outstanding. Mike, also, you referenced today this Rainbow Six is starting to swell again and is up over 2 million. When are they going to force that out?
Nothing official yet. Wouldn't surprise me if it was this weekend, but as of this morning, that's not official. I'm going to talk to Mike Lake. I need to check back with him this afternoon. So possible this weekend. There is some rain in the forecast. I think that's what their concern is. They don't want to have a force out if they're going to get washed out. So, I may have news one way or the other later today. So,
all right. It seems that whenever I bring this up with you, they announce a force out hours later. It's crazy.
This is about the level they've been going at. You know, I mean, it's 2.2 million or 3 million guarantee, but that means the pool's at about 1.6 million or 1.7 million. And this is about where they've been letting it go. So my thinking is it'll be this weekend or next weekend. I'd be leaning toward this weekend, but again, because I don't think they don't want to go up against the Belmont Stakes with it next Saturday.
Good point.
So the lean is this weekend, but the last forecast I saw was 70%, you know, chance Saturday afternoon, and then I saw 90 on Sunday, but. You know, it was 40% on Saturday yesterday. So, it's really hard to predict down here this time of year what you're going to get.
It's almost been rough.
To go for it. You know, try to get as many dirt races in it as you can, and main track onlys, and then just go for it. But I think I'll have a decision in advance this afternoon. Yes or no for Saturday?
Excellent. All right. Well, I wanted to touch base because this race was too interesting that cropped up. For a midweek 1 mile allowance that has
terrific.
Three serious horses
still here. Too bad Todd didn't decide to throw one of his in there instead of going to the Belmont. You know, it would have been nice.
Wow,
because should have put Gunther in here. That would have been fun.
That wouldn't have been so crazy actually to you know to tighten up. I'm really
tough
anxious
to pass
to see.
Up $1 million for 55, but. You know, well, but when you think you have one of the contenders.
Exactly. But, I mean, now that they've shifted to, you know, that race is what, July 11th? So.
I mean, that decision came this morning, though, just after Maxfield came out. These horses are already gone, so they're not here anymore. It wasn't
that's true.
He was still
that's
here
true.
And could have said, oh, okay, well, you know. But
we'll hang around.
I don't think there was ever any thought of running him in this race. I was just kind of half joking there. So one last note, and then I'm going to run.
Sure.
We are doing one more week of clock and reports here at Gulfstream through Sunday. So hopefully the Rainbow Six will force out will come while we're doing the clock and reports. And that'll be it here. And if all goes according to plan and things go well in New York, we might come back with a July 4th weekend one in New York. So that's why I'm trying to get down there. Trying to get down there a couple of weeks ahead of time so we can do that. So hopefully that'll work out smoothly there.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Mike, I appreciate it, and we'll be watching this afternoon, and we'll see about news about a Rainbow Six Force as well. I appreciate this.
Okay, no problem. Take care.
Mike Welch, everybody. DRF Welch. And we're going to stay here and bring Seth Merrow in. We have to talk about Canterbury, don't forget, opening day. And there was a really nice reaction. People loved hearing Andrew Offerman and the time we spent against their season. And the 10%, I'll tell you this, I mean, I've already written it up. Gus actually took a swing at it, too. So you'll have both of our sets of opinions on the five races. I'll put them up right after the show. And, of course, post time is, you know, pretty... Not late, but it's, let me see, what's the fourth race post is 6-something. 6:10 Central, so 7:10 Eastern for the 10% takeout pick five. The card itself starts at 5:40 Eastern, 4:40 Central. All right, it is a tricky sequence, and I had looked at it when we talked to Andrew. We didn't really discuss the sequence with him. There's a Minnesota bred allowance, the sixth race, that is really tough, and much like Andrew Offerman had suggested, the toughest decisions are going to be the horses that are coming off of extended layoffs. I'm talking 6-7 month layoffs. You know, anywhere you've got anywhere from 180 days to there's some horses that haven't run in a year, and it makes for some tricky reads, because if they come back to their, you know, talent level before the break, they're competitive. But would you rather have recency? And, you know, horses that might be, you know, if everybody, you know, had run in the last 30 to 40 days, you know, you might not necessarily embrace them. But under the conditions, you know, you're forced to, you know, look at horses that just might be that much more fit than some that have been gone since September. Very, very tricky in that regard. And there's also... there's a maiden race, the Minnesota bred maiden race. You're gonna have to quicken your familiarity with, you know, Minnesota stallions. That race is no bargain. There was a firster in there. I ended up picking using three horses that have run, you know, and again, horses coming off layoffs. There is one firster in there that caught my eye a little bit. Baby Gordita. Baby Gordita, I thought was a little bit interesting. I'm of a mind to just lean on Mac Robertson and kind of assume that one or the other of the Mac Robertsons coming back for 3-year-old debuts, Binding Time or Miss Kella Time, and Binding Time is 12-1, which I thought was a crazy price. I think Seth is with us.
I am. Good morning.
Seth Merrow, good morning.
And you brought up an interesting point, because it's true almost everywhere except the Tampa and Gulfstream at this point. But an added piece of the handicapping puzzle is the horses coming back off of layoffs. And it'll certainly be true someplace like Canterbury when Finger Lakes gets up and going. A lot of those horses are Finger Lakes based. And yep. Just on an annual basis, they take a break in the wintertime. And they usually come back in the first couple of weeks. They have those little 4.5 furlong races that work them back into shape. But when they get going, you'll have horses coming back from a very long layoff. But even in New York, you've had the past week some horses that laid off just before the break. And so in the 21st century, that's not too much. But now that we have turf racing, normally the turf horses would, you know, have come back. It may have last raced in November, maybe even early December, and they come back in April. That's not so much. But now they're getting a June start to the the turf racing. And so, yeah, that it's always a question mark. You look and you say, gee, if they come back with the form they had when they left, I have to use them. But do they come back with that form? And you try to suss out the workouts and whatnot, and often it's just more of a guessing game than anything else. But that, as I say, certainly adds another piece. But speaking of turf racing, got to tip the cap to DT Stables and Minute Mouse the other day. I sent you a text right after the race. Wow, that was a fabulous effort. Top of the stretch, I thought you were going to upset that race.
Well, if the Chad Klarovich drop down, if that one had gotten a little bit more bottled up, that Mouse might have been able to hold her off. Now she, you know, it's funny. It was identical. I mean, visually, it was identical to the win last September. I mean, she just was. You could just see she was, once she settled down, she was throwing her head early. You know, she hadn't run in months, and that kid can ride, Cardenas. He got her to relax, and I could see when they were coming off the turn and she started to edge forward, you know, I thought, oh boy, she's gonna, you know, have the lead the stretch. And she held on nicely too. She came out of it great. She got a little tired. It was a lot to ask, actually, to go a mile and a 16th off of, you know, that kind of a break. But she'd been working better than she ever had before. And it's funny, for people, I'm glad you brought this up, Seth, a real quick aside, and I'll put a picture. I took a picture of Thoroughgraph, of the Thoroughgraph page last week to show people. For the people that were saying, well, how could you use her and, you know, 45 days off and, or 45 to 1 and off, you know, the whatever. She is being by Courageous Cat. I've talked about the Thoroughgraph statistics that Jerry Brown has added to the package. And the sire index that Jerry's created by age, so that he's got an indice of horses, the stallions at 2, 3, 4, and then 5 and above. And it's one of those hidden gems in Thoroughgraph. And people have heard me talk about horses coming back as 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds from, let's say, summer or fall, and it's been 6, 7, 8 months. Well, a 3-year-old coming back at that point, or a 4-year-old coming back, it's a different horse. You don't look at their performance level as the barometer of what they're going to do today. You have to appreciate that they've matured that much more and are going to be different. And then the other thing that was going on with Minute Mouse, she's a turf horse. So those dirt races over the winter at Aqueduct, you put a line through those. We're just letting her run because she's in training, and you just, you know, if you pick up a check, you're happy. But she was just biding her time. So now she's coming back to her proper surface, and when you look at that sire index, Courageous Cats improved 5 points on Thoroughgraph from ages 3 to 4, and that put her amongst the contenders. So,
you know, that's really interesting, because I didn't know Thoroughgraph did that. I may have to tap in and use that. But it's interesting because I'm a guy, I love the 2-year-old races and the first time starters, and that's all about the breeding. And there are certain sires who I just automatically go to violence these days for first time starters, and they jump out. And in the back of my mind, there are some sires that, you know, their horses need some time to mature, and they're going to get better as they get older. But I've never seen it parsed out like that, the way it is with first-time sire statistics. But it's true on the other end as well. There are some sires whose offspring get better as they get older. So to have it really parsed out in a way like that, statistically in hard copy, that is definitely worth taking a look at.
I'll put the picture of that up so that people can see it in, you know, in a physical, you know, numeric form, and her whole sheet, because when she won in September, she ran a 15 on Thoroughgraph. Well, if she runs an A race now, as a 4-year-old, first time on the grass as a 4-year-old, and if she improves the typical amount that a courageous cat improves, she could run about a 10. That's exactly what she ran. She ran a career best by her 68 and essentially ran her career best race. And so this is how you find 45-1 shots to use on your tickets. It's not, you know, the refrain that you hear all the time. Nobody could have had that horse. Yes, you could have had that horse. You got to be open to it. That's the beauty of this game. That's why you're playing it, you know?
Well, particularly also if you're watching the board at all. It may be a horse that you see that sire statistic and you realize it, but, you know, if the horse is 7-2 and you're looking at the PPs and that statistic doesn't jump out, but you look up and you see 40-1, all of a sudden, okay, this is a 40-1 shot that has a little something that I can kind of hang my hat on, and that's what you look for as well.
Well, let's talk, Seth, a few things, maybe some impressions of the big steak day Saturday in New York, whatever else. You know, you were on the air for, you know, a lot of good racing. We had that pick five carryover on Friday, and there's been so much to talk about and be excited about. At the same time, we're a little tempered by this rash of injuries that are claiming the 3-year-olds. You know, on a daily basis, not only did we lose Maxfield today to a congenital fracture, but Wells Bayou is, you can cross him off your list too. He's got bone bruising, so he'll be on the shelf 6 months.
Yeah, and I guess that's a function of, you know, the Derby being in September. You know, normally you'll get some dings along the Derby trail, but the Derby's in May, and so it's coming in the first few months. Now you've got 9 months for things to shake out. So I suppose that's a little function there. But yeah, it was a great stakes weekend. One of the things that keeps popping out to me, and has to the beginning portion of the year, you know, we go back to By My Standards and Owendale and those type of horses. The 3-year-olds from last year have turned into very nice 4-year-olds. And part of that over the weekend was Vekoma. I mean, he was fabulous in the Carter, following up the seasonal debut, which was already impressive. So he adds his name to those 3-year-olds from last year that now have become real players in what looks like just a fabulous handicap division this year. I also thought last week Volatile down at Churchill, when I watched that race, you know, he misses the stakes, the track record by a couple of hundredths of a second and pops out at, what, a 111 buyer number. Swiss Skydiver clearly goes to the top of the class of the 3-year-old fillies, you would have to think. That was impressive. Honor AP, interesting, beating Authentic, and I know a lot of people like that horse and kind of validated their thoughts, so he goes into the Derby picture and the Derby conversation right now. Cezanne, we'll go back to that one. As I watched the race, you know, I was on TV and kind of set it up, the $3.6 million horse. I said after the immediately after the race, I didn't think it was eye-popping, but I thought it was a great first race. He was in the middle of the scrum, down the backstretch and around the turn. That's always tough for a debut effort, and then kind of pulled away. I think the buyer was 89, something like that. So it was okay. It wasn't super spectacular, but I thought it was the kind of effort that good starting point. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him going ahead. Newspaper, a record on the weekend, impressed, kind of getting back to what she signaled in the 2-year-old season. And Code of Honor, again, another one of those 3-year-olds from last year that now steps into the handicap division of a good win in the Westchester. So it was since the quarantine period, this was probably the biggest weekend of racing we've had since things have, you know, gotten back to some sense of normalcy.
No, without a doubt. And, you know, we've got a kind of an intermediate weekend here before Belmont week. They'll draw the FIPS today. In fact, they just sent out the racing office just put out the final for Saturday, and looks like we're going to be running in the, well, they split the race for Kid Chocolate. They must have gotten at least 20 or more for this maiden 40 0-6 on the turf.
You guys are filling box. You have Carlisle Bell tomorrow, right? The homebred. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I always like saying that.
We got Bell tomorrow. Nature nurture. just looking at the rest of this card for Saturday. They're using a an open maiden, 6.5 on the dirt. They've got another open maiden, fillies and mares, going a mile on the grass. You've got state bred allowance, 6 on the dirt. Then you've got, of course, the Ogden Phipps, and there's also a 1/16 turf claiming event, 25 claimers, and they're using both of the substitute races as well, a starter and a claimer. So it looks like a nice card on Saturday at Belmont before we get down for Belmont week, and plan to be probably just going to broadcast what looks like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from Belmont. That's the plan right now. It's not like a regular one. Seth, the cards today, I something tells me you had your choices. Tampa, Gulfstream, and I'm looking at Canterbury for this new pick 5, 10%, tremendous takeout package that they've put together at Canterbury. What did you do today?
I did, since I'm on TV, I did both Gulfstream and Tampa. So we can go either direction if you want to get some ideas.
Oh, I guess because Canterbury, by the time they get started, your shift, you're kind of wrapping up.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out by then. I have been hanging around till that 6 o'clock kind of time, but yeah, that pick doesn't even get started till well after that.
Oh yeah, no, in fact, 7:10 it'll get started. So a quick rundown today: Ajax Downs, Arapaho, Assiniboia tonight, Belterra, Canterbury, opening day, Delta Downs. Delta is starting their quarter horse meet. Starts at 6:15. Evangelin, Gulfstream, Laurel. There's no Gulfstream tomorrow. I should have asked Mike Welch why Gulfstream's not running tomorrow.
I think that's their new schedule. They were saying on the simulcast. Thursday's off now. Yeah.
Okay.
Wednesday on, Thursday off now. I think they're probably through the summer, I'm guessing.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay.
Yeah,
I guess.
With Wednesday in there, too.
Laurel, Lone Star, Louisiana Downs, Pocatello, Idaho, and Tampa and Thistledown as your betting menus today. All right, Seth, give everybody, got about 5-6 minutes. Give some of those, that Merrow money. Give out the Merrow money.
All right. Tampa. I don't really have anything clever today at Tampa, but the second race, maybe 7-2 on the first or Forest Cat. You know, we were talking before about liking the debut runners and looking for a little breeding. And a lot of times I mention this often. I look for the breeding, and if they're sold at a two-year-old auction and the connections and whatnot, a lot of times those are more potent at the maiden special level. This is a maiden claimer. But we do have a firster by Twirling Candy. Very good sire with first-time starters. A couple of the siblings, Indefinable Humor, second in the debut, won the second start. Another sibling called Can Dip that won the career debut. So, again, if the morning line at 7-2 holds up in the second at Tampa, I thought Forest Cat was maybe a little bit intriguing in there. Another maiden race, maiden specials in the fourth race. And I got scratches early, and it looks like there aren't too many scratches. As again, I saw them early, so I haven't seen any update over the last 45 minutes or so. But in the fourth of Tampa, maiden specials on the turf, Gold Country. I really like Golden Sense as a sire, first-time starters. Dam's first full, so we don't have much to go on there. Trainer with a limited sample can get it done with first-time starters. And it's a race where there's just nothing else really jumping off the page at me. Treasure Beach is the sire of Cloudbreak. I'll toss that one in the mix because Treasure Beach, kind of a sneaky good sire of win early types, and his horses can win at a little bit of a price. This one didn't live up to that by any means in the career debut over at Gulfstream, but maybe with a little venue relief coming over to Tampa, cloud break is interesting as well. But as I say, gold country, I'm going to tilt in that direction. 9-2 on the morning line. Cloud break is 15-1. So yeah, we'll see if we can make a little magic happen there. And then just quickly go through that late pick four. Because, again, I don't have anything really clever, but the people are playing this afternoon. Tampa's fifth. I have it 6-1-3-2. I'll try my boy Lenny on top. I master the obvious here. It's Gerald Bennett and Centeno with a short price on the morning line, but comes out of a similar race last time. It's one of those, I like to say, why not right back? So we'll see if that one can get the pick four off to a chalky start and maybe make something happen a little later. Sixth race, I have it 4-2-7-1. Lady Brianna, again, Bennett and Centeno. This one should be a little bit better priced in a race that's probably a little more competitive. So if you're shopping around, I think Blazing Brook from Kathleen O'Connell is logical. But both Chola and Darlin' Diva at a price, I think one of those has the potential on a best effort to maybe get up and make some noise in there. Seventh at Tampa, I had it 2-4-6-8. I think the four's out, so 2-6-8 now. Dyna Power on top. I mentioned it before, Mike Deeney having a really good meet down there. This one dropped to this level last time and tossed in a clunker, but it was two turns on the turf. Now gets back to the dirt and a sprint at a claiming level. Dropped it back in for a tag last time. Drops into even lower level today. Dirt, sprint. I think Dyna Power is interesting. Tis Noise potentially could be a little bit interesting in here at a little bit more of a price. And Palace's Diamond probably has to step it up, but I don't think that's out of the question in the third career start. So, again, in the seventh, I have a 2-6-8 after the scratch of the fourth. Eighth race, I have it 7-10-1. Number seven is Celestial Orb. Maybe a little bit of a price on the morning line. But this one comes in off a couple of good tries, knocking at the door in the last few starts. And then underneath, I on the finish. Again, some good numbers against a little bit better. And Miss Maris has to get back to some better numbers. But this one from Sweezy Garcia on board. I just have a feeling this horse is maybe better than the two starts we saw over at Gulfstream recently. And that one might be a player at a price as well. So in the eighth of Tampa, 7-10-1.
You can't. You just can't stay away from Tampa. That's because you missed your trips down there.
You're telling me. Yeah. Oh, and I looked up. I was thinking maybe a couple of days up in Maine might be nice. So I looked up online. 14-day quarantine if you come in from out of state. So I guess that's no fried clams for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
No clams, no lobster roll.
That's a weird. When's that going to. When are they going to.
It said through the end of summer. The governor's kind of holding tough, but yesterday or the day before, they kind of switched things up. If you live in Vermont or New Hampshire, they have a small enough number that you're good to go right now. And they said other places. If you had a test within the last 72 hours and you were negative, you could go and be okay. Otherwise, 14-day quarantine still holds.
Hmm. Boy, oh boy. Well, I continue. I'm going to go down to New York this week, but the next week. But it's going to be it's strange. It's going to be a weird feeling. I think. Kind of getting out and getting back to some travel.
Yeah, and pretty much everything is strange right now. So, but particularly going down to New York and showing up at Belmont Park, and having it be fan free. I'll be interested to hear what the situation is like or what it feels like.
Well, we will let you know, and we'll talk to you from there next week. Seth, I appreciate it. Good luck today. We'll be watching, and we'll see you at some point in town, I guess. I mean, there's got to be an opportunity, right? To, you know, little Saratoga mingling.
I've been
going into town.
It's active. Up a little bit, so yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. I've had to do, you know, plenty of. In fact, I got to go today. Seth Merrow, everybody. Seth Merrow, too, on your Twitter and right there on your television, capital O TV, TV, 1250 on your Spectrum dial. I want to thank Seth and Mike Welch, the Weisses, father and son, Lauren and Andrew. Sid Fernando, of course, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Eric Gilotta from Pittsburgh. And, of course, Andrew and Eric on to celebrate their NHC qualifiers. And Joe Applebaum, J.A. Goods, on Twitter. And the sale a couple hours in already to day two. Good luck if you're playing, everybody. Plenty good action today. A dozen circuits operating. Good luck. I'll talk to you in the morning.
Lord, there goes a Buick 49. Black sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul. We don't know. That soul is hard to find. Down the road. Down the road. You're out to get the
At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.